Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
This is North South.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami here with my North and South co-host Dylan Hernandez, who before the show was just complaining to me that this show is forcing him to go cover new and varied stuff. I take that as a good thing. We're pushing him, we're prodding him. Dylan is seeing the world, not just Shohei Ohtani. Although we like the Ohtani stuff too, Dylan. I don't want you to, like, you know, take that out of your equation. But Dylan Hernandez, you were covering the NFL draft last night. Where were you?
Costa Mesa. You know, the Chargers, I think initially were thinking about doing it at their new, you know, their new place down in El Segundo. But it was Costa Mesa. I actually don't mind Costa Mesa because there's a Mitsua out in Costa Mesa that has a great food court. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you have you had gyutang before? It's like beef tongue.
No.
Which is
no.
Weird, right? Because like in Latin America, right, we just kind of chop it up and throw it in tacos and it's kind of a cheap meal. In Japan, it's like a real delicacy. Okay. And one of the Japan's signature gyutang places has a place in like the food court there. What I did find, though, is I guess I haven't been down to the Chargers in a while. The price of this thing has doubled now because of inflation. So that turned into a really expensive lunch. But
when was the last time there? 1984 or something?
I mean, no, you know what? Like, my family likes going down there, actually. That couldn't have been that long. But I was a little taken aback that it turned into like a $30 lunch all of a sudden. But
oh, too bad for you.
It was good, though. Okay. It was really good.
Other than that, what was the highlight of your trip down to Chargers?
Yeah. You know what? Actually, I'll say this. They were one of the most, media friendly draft nights, I would imagine, in terms of they made their pick. Harbaugh came right to the press room right after, didn't make us wait until the end of the night, which is kind of what we were expecting. He and the GM, Joe Ortiz, came in right afterwards, took questions, and that was kind of it. So we were out of there relatively early, I think most of us are done working a little bit past nine. So,
unlike the 49ers, because it was drafted 31, that's the main part about that. Okay, Joe Alt, I saw some of the highlights. Harbaugh was like, yeah, people are going to ask us about weapons. And I'll tell you what, we've got offensive linemen as weapons. Very, very classic Harbaugh. It is like he's going to run a football, right? I mean, they're going to, Greg Roman's offensive coordinator. They're going to obviously got a great quarterback in Justin Herbert, but you protect the quarterback, you play much saner games, you keep things under control. If you can run the ball, I assume that's what they're going to – that's the emphasis at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think this guy's known as a really good run blocker. I think obviously, they're going to be moving – they have Rashawn Slater already at left tackle, so sounds like they're going to be moving him to right tackle. Trey Pipkins, who was the starting right tackle last year, probably is going to – sounds like he's going to move to guard at this point. I think the objective is going to be run the football. And it's kind of what I think, I think before the draft, I was talking to Sam Farmer. I mean, this is what I was expecting them to do. I think the fans were actually kind of hoping that they would go, take a receiver. Obviously, this is, L.A. for the good or for the bad. Right. You want kind of the big flashy move. They didn't get that. So I do think some of the fans that are kind of used to and, the Rams have kind of been the splashy move team, right? They traded up to get Jared Goff. They were the first team to swap a number one overall draft pick quarterback for another former number one overall draft pick quarterback when they got Stafford. That said, I think, the Chargers are kind of looking at this, our splashy move of the offseason was to get Harbaugh. Now just kind of let him go do his thing. And, You know, as much as like, you know, I understand where the fans are coming from in terms of wanting a receiver, but hey, you got to let the guy do what he's going to do. I mean, we've seen it, you know, at every previous stop, this is what he does. And so, you know, to me, this just kind of falls in line with that.
Yeah, I could see Harbaugh been interested in Harrison if Marvin Harrison had dropped, if Arizona doesn't take him. Harrison pretty good to go against when Harbaugh was coaching Michigan. But even then, I think he probably would have gone offensive line. But I couldn't see it. Roma Dunze, really good receiver. Malik Nabers, really good receiver. But I go with the sure thing offensive tackle if you got a chance. We're going through that with the 49ers. They kind of pass on questionable tackles. And at some point, like, you got to take a tackle, just hope that he's good because they're so important. And you go bookend tackles. What was the Harbaugh mood out there? Just from the highlights, seemed like he was in a very upbeat mood, lots of energy. Yeah. That is Harbaugh. He can get down to at times, especially when he and Trent Baalke were having some loggerheads during the draft, but I don't think he's there now. Do you think he's making any picks, by the way? Is it Ortiz making the picks? How is that working, and what's Harbaugh's mood?
I mean, yeah, I think he was in a great mood. You know, he was kind of, you know, it was interesting kind of watching him, you know, and listening to him because, you know, I think I mentioned how at the introductory press conference, he was really kind of talking up the Spanos family, you know, great owners, this and that. And it's kind of like, you know, and he went on kind of this unprompted 5-minute, you know, soliloquy about Joe Ortiz, you know. This we had a leader in here, you know. He kind of really, and you can see the guy. I mean, he's obviously, you know, Ortiz is kind of like embarrassed a little bit, right? But at the same time, you can see, like, yeah, like, you know, I was telling one of the reporters afterwards. I mean, just imagine if Harbaugh was like your editor, you know, and is telling you like, hey, this guy's got the biggest balls of anybody, great writer. You feel great. You know, and so, yeah, from that standpoint, I think he probably got what he wanted, you know, and he's kind of right. And right now, everybody still kind of seems to be, obviously, I mean, this just started. I think there it was pretty clear, again, that they were going to go offensive line. I think it was the question of where it was going to go. You know, again, maybe if Harrison falls to them, obviously they go that way. But, you know, I mean, if anything, my expectation was maybe that they might trade down. Right. You know, get the next offensive lineman down and maybe, you know, get a little bit more just because they do have holes on the roster. Right. I mean, there's, you know, when he was kind of talking about the options he had at a receiver, I mean, he mentioned a guy that's like on the practice squad. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that kind of like drilled in the reality that like, OK, they're short on bodies here, you know, and I'm guessing they'll try to address as much as they can of that, you know, in this draft and the, you know, in the later rounds. But yeah, you know, I felt it was, yeah, he was very excited still, you know, it's still, he still kind of had that glow of, you know, that I felt at the introductory press conference. So, you know,
is he still living in the RV?
I don't think he is. I think he moved out of that. Yeah.
Well, I think the moment Sarah showed up, he was going to be into a house and she was not living in an RV. Certainly not the small RV. Greg Roman seems to have gotten the big RV. I don't think Sarah was hanging out in the Harbaugh 1984 vintage, whatever the hell that was. But such a Harbaugh thing. You're going to get a million more of these things from Harbaugh. It's just the way he's a unique dude. And I've said a million times in the history of the NFL. But interesting. And yeah, Joe Ault from Notre Dame is just a classic. Let's put a big body over there. Let's control the game. It's one way to let Justin Herbert get a breather a little bit. And then when you need him to have a big game, he can get, you know, be healthier and livelier to be able to do that for you. So such a classic Harbaugh thing. And we'll see, you know, obviously we'll see if they can get receivers, get a tight end. One thing I knew wasn't going to be Brock Bowers there. That kind of was penciled in early in the process. The other people thought, you know, you're not taking a tight end 5. You're just not. You're taking a great receiver or you're taking a tackle. In a great receiver and tackle draft, right? You don't want to dial yourself out of those positions, very important positions, in great drafts when you're in that spot, to take a tight end. I don't, you know, and Bowers could be a great one. He's not going to be as important as a great tackler or a great receiver. Just my theoretical thing. From the outside looking in, from the Southern California looking up north, what'd you think of what the 49ers did? 31, Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah. You know, again, I'm not too familiar with the entire, you know, thing in terms of like the big picture. Right. But yeah, I think it fills a need. I think, right?
And it could. I mean, it's not maybe not right now. Right. You know, depending on what they do with Deebo Samuel, who I think could be traded today. I don't think he will be. Ayuk, you know, could be holding out. I think they're this is partly like backing up against that. I think they think they're going to eventually sign Ayuk to a long-term deal, but you might get to a problem with there. I think they're acknowledging that part. They could have traded Ayuk in the first round yesterday. They didn't. They don't think they got the offer they wanted. And this was kind of the backup option, you know, kind of the plan 1B in case 1A doesn't work. And then 1C is sitting over there too. Not the most sexy pick in the whole world. He doesn't look like a game breaker. Doesn't look like he's going to change your offense. But you know, somebody who could play third receiver, slot receiver, and then if they need him to replace Deebo eventually, he's right there. I think they like that. But it's definitely a play different than like a team going for the Super Bowl normally does. Like you go, let's get the guys and help us right now. And, you know, that could tackle, that's guard, that's cornerback. There are a bunch of cornerbacks that were there that were really good. But the way they explained, they're looking at this year and next year and the year after that. And probably after this year, Deebo's not going to be on this team. So, I mean, I guess you could work it that way. Little bit of a luxury pick. Maybe not luxury, insurance down the road, big picture. But they kind of want to win a Super Bowl now. So that's part of the lots of different things going. We'll see what happens with Deebo later today. We're recording this on Friday at noon. Second round starts in a few hours. I don't think they're going to trade Deebo. I think they could, though. I think that's up in the air. But I don't think there's going to be big offers for him. I just don't.
Yeah. Well, he's a different type of receiver, too, right? Kind of more of a route running type guy. So, like,
a little bit more. You know, he's like, you know, he's kind of tweener. I think Pearsall's a tweener, which is what they like. You can do both, but maybe he's not great at either one of them. But he's, I think he's got a high floor. I'll put it like he's going to play in the NFL. He's not one of those guys who busts out and just can't play for you. They've had though some of those guys. I think this guy's, you know, he can play 40 catches as a rookie, like one of those guys, and maybe 70 down the road. You know, not going to be 100, but he's not going to be zero. And I think that was pretty important to them. Not, again, it's not a standard Shanahan Lynch kind of thing. They don't tend to play it safe with these picks, but I think I get it when you're looking at the money they're probably going to end up paying the receivers this season, and then they're going to be off of Deebo probably next season. Be interesting how Deebo reacts to this with his basically out in the open. Like he's probably not going to be on the team next season. Does he fire him up? Does he get pissed? Does he, you know, how is he going to handle this? I think he's going to get fired up. I think he's going to try to show everybody, have a great year, and then force the 49ers to make a decision on him that they don't want to, or keep him and then make a decision elsewhere.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah. I mean, do you read this into what could happen today with Deebo?
I mean, I think they could trade him. If there's a good offer, I think they would trade him. It's a big salary cap hit, I'll point out. But the more I think about it, it's also you save dollars. And at some point, paying out all these bonuses, right? It's not cap hits. It's like you're paying out bonuses. It amortizes over the cap, over the length of the deal, but you still got to pay it. And if you've got an big IU chunk coming, theoretically, you've got a big Purdy bonus coming next year. You paid a lot to Bosa. I can see like maybe just saving the Deebo salary might be something, but I don't think they're going to get an offer for him that will make it worth it to them. He's still a really good player. They want to win a Super Bowl. He's not replaceable by a third round pick. He's just not. I mean, you think, oh, this guy is Deebo type. Yeah, there's a lot of Deebo types out there. There's one Deebo. And maybe the play is receding. He does get hurt, but God, defenses fear him. They do. And I don't think the Rams would be pissed off at all if he's not on the 49ers next season. Like, put it that way. Like, this is a guy you have to game plan. Now, maybe you fear McCaffrey more, and you have Ayuk and you have Kittle. Like, there's ways that, yes, that's why they're thinking about not having Deebo on the team next season. But is it better to have him or not have him? It's better to have him. Plus, you get that cap hit, you know, and that, you know, maybe you can absorb it. You just take it. But I think you'd rather have him rather than like a late second or early third. I'd take Debo every time. And then next year you make it. You probably have to cut him next year. But so I can see, like, let's get a pick for him now. But also you want him to play for you. That's where, like, fans get all this. Let's make the move now. Let's just get rid of him. No, actually, you want him to play football. Like, having him play football is the point. And he's good at football for at least one more year for them. I think he can fit.
Yeah, I think he's just such a different type of weapon too, right? That he's, you know, there's no real...
He's their backup tailback. He's their backup tailback in big games, right? And
right. Yeah, I mean, that type of weapon, right? There's certain guys in the league, right? You know, Tyreek Hill, McCaffrey probably, right? That kind of, I mean, yeah, they play that position, but just kind of their impact is such that, you know, it's almost like a completely different thing.
Yeah, I mean, let's see if health-wise, you know, he missed some games this season.
Again, and the health thing,
That was part of the issue when they got tense 2 years ago on his contract. Like, the 49ers didn't think he was going to be – they didn't know if it was going to hold up value-wise 2-3 years down the road. Guess what? We're 2 years down the road, and maybe he doesn't hold up value-wise. We'll see. I think it's fine to have a contract year. It's fine to, like, okay, we don't think you're worth it. The league didn't think you're worth it. Let's see if you're worth it, and let's see what he puts up. Maybe he puts up a fantastic year. The 49ers will take that. They will absolutely take that year. Again, I do think fans and sometimes even teams just forget about, oh, the value is to trade him for a second-round pick. That's the value. No, the value is to have him play football for you. That's the value. Then you work it around. If it doesn't quite work out financially, then what can you get for the pick? But I just don't. I don't see it. Let's see how this plays out. But I think the first round having gone by and no trade means they're keeping Ayuk. And the second round, if it goes by, that means they're keeping Debo and just patch it all together. Pearsall's your third receiver, maybe even your fourth. And you try to win a Super Bowl. And then you deal with the consequences after that. That's where the position they're in. It's a position they should be in. Unless they really got to start saving dollars. And I'm not talking cap dollars. I'm talking general dollars. Because they paid out a lot. Bosa signing bonus, Kittle signing bonus, Fred Warner signing bonus, Debo signing bonus, Trent Williams. Like, they paid out a lot, chunks of money. Maybe that's coming to an end, you know, getting ready for Purdy. But I think they make enough to deal with one more contract. Then you start getting rid of people next year. And then that might not just be Debo either. There's a few other players that might be. And it was Armstead this season. So, this is a rotating thing. It's a cyclical thing. I think the best bet is to keep both of them, Ayuk and Debo, and then go into next season. And likely you're going to be moving on from Debo after a year.
Yeah. And like you said, just given Debo's kind of like injury, right, history and stuff. Just watch this Charger team that's kind of been, right, they get injury stricken every single year.
Yep.
Right. And, you know, you got past Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, and then it kind of turned into like, well, what else is there, you know?
Yep. Eckler gets hurt every year, right, a little bit.
Yeah, and so, you know, from that standpoint, again, I'm not really sure what, like, the other needs were, I guess, but I think that there was kind of this thing of, like, yeah, you know, it's a physical game. Guys are going to go down. Getting another receiver, I don't think, is the worst thing in the world for them.
The receiver who's going to play with Brock Purdy for a long time. And Shanahan even mentioned Purdy last night when I asked him about it. Like, does the situations you have with the other two receivers play, did it play in the pick in the receiver? I said, well, everything plays into it. And, you know, and Brock, too. Like, what's the long term? Who are the players who are going to be with Brock? Who are the players that he's going to count on? Probably Ayuk, and then it's a big question mark because this goes fast. These cycles turn quickly, and they think they just drafted a receiver who will be there for Brock Purdy in 4-5 years. We'll go quickly to the Rams. We don't have to go too long. I love Jared Verse. Like, he's a guy that I watched in college. Thought that guy's an NFL impact defensive end, and they needed one. Obviously, Aaron Donald is a defensive tackle. They lose him, but you just need good players. You need players who do stuff at the edge. Interestingly, it kind of reminds me of Leonard Floyd they had a few years ago, and the 49ers have now, but a guy who could, like, make plays on the outside and is tough, I think it's a great pick for them. And listen, all the offensive players went ahead of them, so they were going to have their pick of a defensive player, you know, maybe to their surprise, But I really think Jared Verse is a solid pick for the Rams after a really good draft last year. Like they're doing what the 49ers want to do now. They're building up the players who will be there in 5 years. Puka Nacua, Kyren Williams. I'm sure Jared Verse is one of those guys. Who knows who their quarterback's going to be? When Matt Stafford wants a new deal, Dylan, by the way. You got to have to work on that one. I don't know what you get him. He's an older quarterback who has been injured. He has had some injuries. But they are building that kind of catalog of younger players who are not coming up on extensions. Well, you know, it's eventually going to be there. But who can be after the Donald Cooper Cup, Matt Stafford kind of era is here and then, you know, maybe gone. They've already lost a few players from that. But I like Jared Verse. I wouldn't be shocked to see him be a Pro Bowl player for many, many years.
Yeah, I mean, they were, like you mentioned, they're right, very fortunate, just kind of where everything kind of lined up.
What did 14 quarterbacks get picked before that? It was incredible.
Quarterback. First defensive player went where? Like at 15?
Something like that, yeah. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, they used to like it, I think, when it, 15, whatever. So, yeah, like you said, they got their pick of the litter, obvious need there, and again, you look at these guys' draft history, they've been smart about, right, guys they picked, everything just kind of seems to work for them.
Well, they haven't had a first-round pick for a while, Dylan, so
that was new. It was, yeah.
Having a pick isn't bad.
I think a lot of us were waiting just like to, right, see if they were going to trade out of the first round, yeah. Even, right? I mean, that was kind of the big question, you know? Lakers were playing yesterday. Mm-hmm. So actually, originally, you know, before we kind of knew the playoff schedule, the plan was, you know, Plashkin and I were going to split the two teams, whatever. Just again, because with the Rams, you kind of had a feeling, you know, who knows if they're going to actually keep that pick or not, but. Like you said, I think they got a guy that fits them. He fell right to them, you know. They pulled the trigger.
You know, they were cutie, you know, with a couple years ago. F them picks, and you know, all the national media people. Oh, glorious! Oh my God, they're so smart. F them picks, so smart. No, you do need players on their rookie contracts, and they've hit on them. I give them credit for without having a first. Puka Nacua is freaking top 10 pick value. They got what in the third round, whatever it was. I know he had some injury issues. Kyren Williams is a really good running. They've got other guys. You got to hit then if you don't have first-round picks. 49ers didn't have a first-round pick for 2 years after the Trey Lance deal, and you know they made it up for it by picking Brock Purdy at 262. Like, you just need to get super lucky. If you got first-round picks, you just give yourself more taste of it. You get a shot at these higher-level talents, and it's good to have Jared Verse in there. It's just good. And I don't think they're saying F them picks that much anymore. And when it was happening, I was kind of rolling their eyes. I get Jalen Ramsey was good to have. I get Von Miller was good. Like, these are all good. They won a Super Bowl. Like, I'm not going to argue with that. But the falling at their feet for, oh, the smartest team, they're not picking, how smart they are. No, you do need those picks. Like, it's not either or. You want to do both. Okay, if you want to make a short-term thing, you go for it, but you still need draft picks eventually.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it too, though, right, is what smart organizations do is kind of when everybody's going one way, you go the other, you know, and right, the market at that time, that was kind of the smart thing to do, right? There were opportunities to kind of build, get veteran guys in quickly, win immediately. Now, you know, again, just the way the draft fell, you know, they needed help on defense. All of a sudden, they got the third or fourth best, you know, guy off the board, right? I mean, so I think you know, just kind of from that standpoint, it's not, you know, I don't feel, you know, it's interesting, right, kind of comparing them to the Dodgers right now, where I think the Dodgers were kind of set, you know, they came in, they were doing things a little bit differently in theory, and yet they haven't like evolved, right? It's just kind of, it's been the same model. And you know, when they stopped, you know, part of the thing was, okay, we're going to kind of go after, you know, big money guys and supplemented with the minor league guy, right? Guys that were kind of developing. And that model's kind of like teetered a little bit. You know, they're not, right? They, you know, the Cody Bellingers, the Corey Seegers, those guys aren't coming up anymore. You know, and now they kind of have this very like top heavy lineup where all their good players are making a lot of money now, right? And, you know, whereas kind of the Rams, I think, have kind of taken more, a little bit more of a varied approach where, again, they were going one way, right? This is the way the thing's going. We're going to go this other way. And again, in this draft opportunity presented itself, we're just going to kind of make the smart move. We're not like locked into a certain philosophy.
Shouldn't be.
Which I kind of feel like the Dodgers kind of are right now. You know, it's like, this is the way we're going to do things. And, you know, other teams are going to start looking at the same things that you are, you know, and all of a sudden these wells that you used to draw water from have dried up all of a sudden. And it's kind of left this Dodgers team with the kind of an odd balance of players on the roster.
Got some really good ones. Let's go through this real quick. I just realized I told the producer we're going to talk Lakers Nuggets, and we do have to take a look. Yes. I'd forgotten about that one. That series has become rather tilted. But quickly, since you brought up the Dodgers, I just want to remind myself we're going to get the Lakers Nuggets. Shohei Ohtani and Mookie Betts are like hitting everything. Every time I look up, I think they're 1-2 in WAR. Mookie Betts is 2.6 WAR right now, at least according to ESPN. That's like a good season. I don't know how many Giants had 2.6 WAR last season. after the whole season, is this Mookie Betts just at his best? And what are he and Ohtani like to see just game after game playing? You know, coming to bat back to back.
Yeah. Well, what's nuts about it too is that like Mookie Betts looks like he's doing like a full workout before every game. I mean, he's working it at shortstop. Yeah. You know,
and he's been good at shortstop, right?
Yeah, he's been okay. Mm. You know, range is a little bit limited. You know, there are times he still kind of makes some bad throws. But he's a good athlete and he's working it, you know. And I think it could be one of those cases, you know, because a couple of years ago, you know, kind of the vibe around the team, and you kind of hear whispers in the clubhouse, is just that this guy's not totally like in there, you know. Last year, I do think moving to second base helped him a lot, right? And maybe he's one of those guys that kind of needs some kind of like ridiculous challenge. You know, I'm not, again, you know, to me, look, he was one of the best right fielders in baseball, if not the best one. I still think he can win games for you out there. So there is a part of me that's like, is this even necessary when you have a, you know, especially if the bottom guys at the bottom of the lineup can't hit? Well, you know, sticking Miguel Rojas at shortstop, right? It doesn't matter, right? It's not like the other guys are hitting. But maybe Mookie Betts kind of needs that kind of stimulation, right? Of like, and you know, my guess is, you know, and Tim, you know, these top guys, you know, I think most fans would just be satisfied if he just like doesn't like cost them games, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure in the back of his head, Mookie Betts is like, you know, I'm going to win a Gold Glove one day here.
It's like, I'm going to prove everybody wrong who didn't think I could play shortstop. Everybody,
right.
Dylan Hernandez, I'm going to prove wrong. I mean, that's how he's thinking.
Yeah, so he's just, both of those guys, you know, kind of in their own ways are like freak athletes. You know, Mookie Betts seems like, again, he's one of those guys. He's just good at everything, you know. And Ohtani, he hit a ball in Washington last few days. What was it, like 118, 119 miles
an hour? Hardest in the league this year?
I mean, it was on a line into the second deck. I mean, we haven't seen one of those in a while, you know. So, yeah, it's, you know, and again, I think it's interesting, right? Because I think, you know, with Ohtani, there's been a lot of stuff going on around him, you know. I think even with Betts, right, to him, I think this has been kind of a season of change too, in the sense that, you know, just all the attention that Ohtani brings into the clubhouse. You know, he's been one of the guys, I think, that has looked particularly displeased at times with how crowded his work area has become. They're going to keep going, you know, and I think, again, those top four guys in that lineup, that's as good as it gets in baseball. It's kind of the next four or five guys, I think, that are kind of the big question mark here.
Yet another Dylan dominated episode, but LA has got so many freaking teams doing so many different things. We got to do Lakers Nuggets. Lakers down, lose another lead last night. They fall. This was at Crypto, not in Denver, after blowing the lead in Denver in game two. They clearly are competitive with the Nuggets. They were competitive last year in the sweep. Yeah. And yet, they're down 3-0. I got to believe, you know, LeBron, after these incredible efforts, is wearing down. I got to believe, you know, like, they got to be thinking, we can't beat this team. So where do the Lakers go? I mean, okay, move off of D'Angelo Russell, another 0 for last night. But other teams have come to this conclusion before, Dylan. And I don't think the Lakers were building the season on D'Angelo Russell. If they were, they were foolhardy. Rio Hachimura, him fading out, that's not a shock either. Okay, you're going to have LeBron, if he comes back, which we're all assuming he will, it's going to be 40 next year. Anthony Davis was really healthy this season, great season. what's the odds of having that again when he's another year older? I'm not sure where is that beginning to be the thinking around. Like, what do you do now if you know you can't beat the Nuggets? Now, it's their misfortune for running into the Nuggets twice, but would have had to beat them anyway somewhere down the road. So where are the Lakers?
Yeah, and I think, you know, kind of like the bigger picture problem they have, right, is in, you know, LeBron and AD, you have two guys that you aren't sure are going to be, how much are they going to be on the court, you know, over 82 games. And the reason they ended up here is because those guys do miss time. They do get, right, LeBron's getting older. He has games where he's not as sprightly as usual. And so, yeah, you end up seated in a place where you're going to run into a team like Denver kind of early. And, you know, Denver's just deeper. You know, I think a lot of attention, you know, this, right, as soon as, you know, this series is over, is going to go into, like, what's going to happen to Darvin Ham, right? Anthony Davis, after game two, kind of said something along the lines of, you know, there are stretches there in the second half when we don't know what we're doing, which obviously seemed like a shot at the coaches.
Yeah, not a great thing to hear if you're a coach.
You know. That said, you know,
who would they hire?
Honestly, at this point, I would just, they're already on this like LeBron gravy train, whatever you want to call it. You know, I mean, look, remember what, you know, after post Kobe, it got bad there for a while. Now, like, I guess like in retrospect, you could argue, okay, well, they got all these top two picks and
They had players.
Maybe you would have ended up with a good team. But there were some dark times after that. You know, I mean, honestly, if I'm Jeannie Buss at this point, I ask LeBron, who do you want as coach, right?
Well, they already did that with Darvin, you know.
Right? You do it again,
yeah,
and you ask him, okay, what do we need, right? Okay, we're going to draft Bronny for you. And, I mean, because I just don't know. I mean, what do you do otherwise? I mean, this isn't a, you know, because I think, again, like, yeah, like, I think coming into the season, obviously, right, D'Angelo Russell was the kind of the contract. That was the guy that was going to be traded theoretically at the deadline. The deal that they wanted never came out. You know, and really they kind of entered these playoffs in a situation where they needed, you know, between Russell, Reeves, and Hachimura, you probably need two of those guys to have a good game for you to, like, you know, and that's what happened, like, in Memphis last year, right, is that, you know, two of those guys every game had a good game to go along with LeBron and AD, and now all of a sudden you kind of have, you know, a chance to win. But I think, again, the league is probably caught up to Hachimura, right? You know, I mean, you see the Denver's just attacking Reeves a lot, right? He's kind of on his heels a lot defensively, and I'm sure that's kind of affecting him on the other end. So, you know, I'm not really sure what you can do to this roster to make it that much better. You know, so if I'm them, again, I just, you know what, you're the team that's going to, like, send LeBron into retirement the way you did Kobe. I know it's not, like, ideal, but I just imagine that if they try to do anything too drastic, it's going to get worse from here, you know. Yeah. My guess is that whatever changes this offseason will be cosmetic, you know, in terms of, again, they'll bring in another coach, they'll draft Bronny, and that'll be your 2024-2025 Lakers. What does it look like for your team up there? I mean, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, with the Niners and, right, about, you know, windows and stuff closing and, right, eras turning over. What does it look like? What does this offseason look like for the Warriors?
Yeah, you talk about windows, and I just thought of an image. You know, their window is pretty much all the way down, and the screen is down in front of it. So, like, there's like this little, there's air getting through there, but there aren't any bugs or anything. It's like it's essentially closed, but sort of not closed. I gotta think through that analogy a little bit more. But that was just, it came down to me. Like, it's just basically just on its last legs. They know it. You know, they're not fooling themselves. But they also went, you know, 27-12 to finish a regular season. It was crappy to start. That's what got them in the 10th spot. They know that. They did not look good, obviously, getting blown out by the Kings in the play-in game. They're all 1 year older. Clay's a free agent. Draymond had a really weird year. That might just increase as he gets 1 year older. I don't know. Clay might not come back. But you have Steph Curry. You're likely to have Draymond for another year or two. And You got Steve Kerr, and I just think, you know, I talked to Steve earlier this week. It's just like, to be honorable about this, be dignified. Don't crap out. Don't just give up. Don't tear it up. You know, you honor it by playing it out and trying to win as many games as you can. And maybe they get hot and they get themselves, you know, they could have been a six seed this year. They really could have been, you know, two or three wins that they blew. You get to 48 and they're, you know, they're a good 48 win team. It's just 48. That's a good season. I don't think they can play with the younger, faster teams. I don't think they can play with the Nuggets, but they can be competitive. They played Oklahoma City pretty well. I mean, they lost, I think, three or four, but they played them really tight. A couple of games they just gave – they choked away at the end. Oklahoma City is going to get a year better. You're going to get a year older. I get all those things. They've got San Antonio and Wembanyama behind them. They got Memphis. Everybody be healthy next season. They've got Houston, a bunch of young guys that was pretty close to them this season. But I think you don't tear it up. You – try to assemble it as best you can. They can cut. Here's the weird spot. They can cut the salaries and not be any worse because Chris Paul's one of them. He was a good player for them. He did not make them much better, though. That's just this weird little thing where he was kind of a duplicate of their weaknesses as much as he was a strength in other ways. If they can get any way better there, maybe you let Klay go. Maybe you sign him for less. Then you've cut it. We've cut the salaries way down. And then you hope for Kuminga, Pajemski, Trayce Jackson-Davis, maybe a rebirth of Andrew Wiggins. These are a lot of ifs. It doesn't mean they're going to be as good as the Nuggets or the Thunder or the Timberwolves, but you also don't want to go – you don't want to win 34, right? 46 is better than that. They can get to 47, 48 next season. I think it's not impossible, given as many games as they just – hand away. They were really good on the road. I think it was 26 and 15 on the road. That's a good team. They were just 25 and 16, and they were 21 and 20 at home. Most teams are better than that at home. Can you get that to 25 wins at home? You're looking at 50 wins. 50 wins gives you a shot in the first round, you know, and see what happens in the second round. That's where they are. I think the championship window is closed, or maybe Steph's got his thumb in there, just barely propping the window open. But you honor that. You honor what they've done by trying to make one more move. You know, we'll see who's out there. They're kind of hamstrung on what they can do unless somebody wants Wiggins and Kuminga. And then you play it out with Steph. I mean, there's all these big names that could they be involved for? There's one in Phoenix who's been on the team before. I just don't think they could get back in that business, but hey, you know, if KD's available, they're going to make a call. If there's other people, Carl Anthony Towns, Jared Allen, I've mentioned many times. Like the teams that flame out in the playoffs, you're going to call up and say, would you want Wiggins? And we'll figure out a way. I don't think those are workable, but that's the Warriors. They're going to try to add something workable around Steph and Draymond and take another shot at it. I think Klay's back too, probably. That's not guaranteed, but again, we've had this discussion, and I don't want to sound like a complete Warriors homer here. I just think they're in a better position than the Lakers right now, just because they're stable. You know, they're not winning as much as they want to, but they're stable within that context, and they do have the ability to make one more move if one's on the table. They have a couple pieces that they can move, and they could drop the salary by letting Paul go and either signing Klay for less, or if they let Klay go. And, you know, he was valuable. He is valuable. He's beloved here. Didn't really help them this season, right? He did not really help them win games this season. If you can replace him in any fashion, they might actually be better next. I mean, not better, but they might be at least comparable. And then the arrow would be more pointing up than it is certainly with the H's pointing down. Chris Paul and Klay Thompson are great guys, great Hall of Fame players. They're old and slow, and the Warriors need to get away from old and slow, I think, or at least manage how much they're paying old and slow. You know, you're paying a lot if you're paying those guys top dollar. They're paying them $70 million last season combined. They can't be in that much. They can't be in that business next season. I don't think they're going to. I don't think Chris Paul's back, and I think Klay is going to be making less, or is going to be gone, and then they see where they're at. But the Lakers want Chris Paul mid-level. Exception.
I mean, you know who I was actually impressed with the other night was Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right? I think Ty Lue really knows what he's doing. He knows how to use them, right? All of a sudden, the game's kind of dragging. Guys are getting tired. You throw that guy in there, and he's actually kind of managed to, right? All of a sudden, now the guy's pushing up the ball up the court. You know, they're open shooters on the outside. Yeah, there's a lot of energy there. You know,
Oh, you want Westbrook back on the Lakers? Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm wondering on the Warriors.
Oh, there, no. Yeah, right? I mean, you know, it would be interesting.
That could work?
He's not there. He's never been their favorite guy. there's, you know, Chris Paul wasn't either. But
right.
Chris Paul wasn't their favorite guy because of his attitude. You know, like they didn't like playing, but they respected him. They did not respect Westbrook when they went against him in the playoffs. They respected KD.
Oh, right.
They did not respect Westbrook. That would be a tough one. In a world where they signed Chris, I mean, they traded for Chris Paul, anything's possible. But
right.
And they tried to trade for LeBron, by the way. Like, you know, LeBron is somebody they would love. I mean, they just think he fits their mentality. They think he would not overwhelm their locker room because of Draymond and Steph. That's why they tried to trade for him. It's harder to do it now because he's, you know, he would be a free agent basically, and they don't have the money. But when you talk about the teams that might take a flyer on Bronny James in the second round, your Golden State Warriors would be one of them. That might do it. I mean, there are other teams too, but if I'm the Lakers, I make sure I draft them. I'll put it that way. I make sure I draft them. And if it's early second round, whatever it's going to be, if they got to move up in there, because you just don't want to mess around with other teams. What if Cleveland drafts them, right? I mean, like, I just wouldn't want to mess with the possibility because the guy is still good. The guy is – he can't do it for 40 minutes anymore, but the guy can still dominate halves, and that's something special at 39.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing, you know, even right on kind of that idea, like, you know, especially the Warriors kind of in the last right stretch of the season where they finished off well, you know, I'd turn on the game and, hey, they're still fun to watch, right? And this kind of brings up this kind of larger, again, existential question of like, okay, well, only one team's going to win a championship, right? And if you don't think you can quite get there, how do you, right, what do you want to do with your team, you know? And you know, again, I'm the Warriors, you know, I'm probably trying to bring Klay Thompson back again, just, you know, keep this because there's so many people I'm sure that grew up with this team, right? Who, you know, might have been in high school when the thing started. They actually have jobs now, can afford tickets, and they want to go see the group back, you know, together.
And you might get a great night. You might get a great night. And that's the thing.
And there's still value in that. Right. And again, you know, you mentioned LeBron too. It's kind of the same thing where there are nights where he's just like, you know, man, this guy's good, you know, and that kind of makes, you know, if you're the guy that bought a ticket to go watch that game, it makes all the losing probably worth it, you know, all the things that they're not doing. So
it's better than not having that player and lose.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, listen, if it's not better than, okay, we can win a championship if we do it another way. But that's who's guaranteed to do that. You got to go get Jokic to do that, or you got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I think it's easier to say it that way when you've won multiple championships. Or Lakers have won one with LeBron, but, you know, that history of that franchise and that player might be like, let's just play it out. And like you said, like they played out with Kobe. And the Warriors won four championships. And you bust it all up like the Bulls did at the end of the Jordan era. I mean, that's just, there's still a bad taste of that. Right. Losing doesn't give you a good taste either. So I don't think we're saying losing. I think we're saying do the best you can.
Yeah.
Don't sour it by being terrible around LeBron and Steph. But also, it's like, what's on the other side of that? If you move on from them, you might just be bad and boring, right? And that's the worst thing to do.
Yeah.
Now, knowing both front offices, I'm sure they both think they have plans to go get another superstar. That's what the Lakers do, and the Lakers tend to get them. Warriors don't have the history of that, but I think they have plans to try to get somebody. I'm not sure who it is, but and I don't know if they're going to pull it off. But you know why you have those plans have some feasibility? Because you got Steph and LeBron. That's how they – if you didn't have that, you're – I'm not saying you're the Charlotte Hornets, but just to use that team as an example. You can have all the cap room and all the maneuverability in the world. Guess what? You're not getting a superstar. You're just not. The superstar who grew up in Charlotte never went to Charlotte. He's with the Warriors. So I would think riding it out wisely is the best path for both. Maybe not the greatest, you know, you're not going to win 57 and knock off Jokic, but you're going to give yourself a shot at it, at least for a few more years apiece, and I'd do it.
Just real quick, I wanted to touch on the Clippers.
Always the last thought. Fire away.
So they're in this weird situation now. They're trying to get Kawhi Leonard back into shape, right? While like
he looks not slow. Losing games I give him credit for coming back in game two, but he did look slow.
Yeah.
And after they win game one,
Now, I do think that they need him back to if they're going to win the whole thing. So I don't think they really had a choice. They had to throw him out there. I do think it slowed down the whole offense, right? Which actually looked pretty good in game one. You know, I think if they can get through this series, which actually I think they got a decent shot of, you know, maybe they can make a run to like the conference championship. What does it look like from your vantage point up there?
I think they need Kawhi. I think they might need Kawhi just to win the series, you know, because Luka wasn't going to play as bad as he did in game one. Someone has to go guard their guys, Kyrie and Luka. It might hinder them, right? It really might right now. But I love Kawhi. I've always loved Kawhi. He's a winning player. Players I talk to respect him almost more than anybody in the league. So if you're going to do it, you're going to do it with him. And maybe you play him into shape. And maybe he's better in game three. Maybe he's even better in game four. And then maybe that you really have him for six and seven and then into the next series. Although, you know, he'd probably get hurt again in the next series, even if you get through this one. But you need him as healthy as you can get him. The guy's a proven champion. I just think this is the way you got the. They look good in game one. That doesn't mean they were going to look good in game two, three, and four without Kawhi. So I'm all for that. It's just a matter of how much you can get out of him, how fast he can ramp up, or even once he ramps up, how much he can stay healthy when he's ramped up. But that guy was not special in game two, but he's special. Paul George isn't going to carry you two rounds. He's going to get you a game or two, but he's not carrying you two rounds. Harden, great in game one. Guess what? Clunker game two. This is kind of the Harden thing. I would put my hopes on Kawhi, and if it isn't there, it isn't there.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Way to go. Way to go, Kawhi. Way to go. All right, I think we're getting a little funky here with the Wi-Fi, so let's call it in. We're going to not – tons of issues. The LA teams are just constantly. We didn't get to the Kings. I'm LA Kings, man. That's our bread and butter there, but we're going to have to skip over our Kings and Sharks talk. That'll be next time.
Can you name three Kings?
No. One of them, God, Kopenick, whatever. Kopitar.
Yeah.
And the Drew Doughty. There's two.
Okay.
And then I stop.
Okay. Well, that's one more than me.
Jonathan Quick, he gone? I think he gone.
I think he's gone. He's gone, right? Yeah, he got traded. I think he's
been Barry Melrose. The coach? I'm not sure. way to go. Do not ask me for three Sharks players, Dylan. I know you couldn't even give me one.
How about three San Jose Earthquakes?
No. That's enough. All right, say goodbye, Dylan.
All right, see ya.